I have to tell you that it is my hope and desire by beginning a series of commercials, the one you're going to see here first, and some radio commercials then that will go along with it, to significantly change the debate on the issue of illegal immigration into this country. I think we have, quite frankly, and I am very proud of the fact that I believe our candidacy and our campaign has moved this issue, the issue of illegal immigration, to the forefront, both in the minds of the American public, by the way, but certainly on the minds of the candidates running for President of the United States. Even the Democrats now are running, well, they're running away from it as hard as they can. Senator Clinton, as you know, got into a bit of trouble when she tried to defend the actions of the governor of New York. But the problem is they have nowhere to go. When they run, they have nowhere to go. There's a problem on our side in that everyone appears to be agreeing with the fact that we now have to secure our borders. This is good. I'm fine. I'm glad that we finally got them there to that point. That was not the case some time ago. There is a tacit agreement, or at least a rhetorical agreement, that we have to do something about amnesty. That is to say, most people will say, I'm against amnesty, unless you then ask them to define it. And most of my colleagues up there on the stage, when I'm debating this issue in the Republican primary for president, are people who are only rhetorically there. They are not there in heart. And they really do not, I don't think, understand what we're talking about when we say we cannot have amnesty. And what we're going to show you here in just a second is a reason why we cannot have amnesty, why we must begin the process immediately of identifying people who are in this country illegally, deporting them, working with businesses in order to identify people who are being hired here and being hired here illegally because they're in the country illegally, and ending that magnet that pulls so many people into the country. But this does, as you're going to see, as I say here in a second, take the whole issue to a different level, one that I believe with all my heart needs to be discussed. And so I hope that we can start that process right now, right here today.
Million aliens who've come to take.
Hi, I'm Tom Tancredo, and I approve this message because someone needs to say it.
There are consequences to open borders beyond the 20 million aliens who've come to take our jobs. Islamic terrorists now freely roam U.S. soil. Jihadists who froth with hate here to do as they have in London, Spain, Russia. The price we pay for spineless politicians who refuse to defend our borders against those who come to kill.
Now that is, of course, a dramatic presentation, I know, and many people will have other ways to describe it. But let me tell you that I believe we have a lot of information that leads us to the conclusion that this is a realistic scenario. And just last week, as a matter of fact, the FBI put out another warning, put out another report that went to local law enforcement agencies all over the country in which they said that, in fact, the Al-Qaeda, they believe that there was information and credible information to believe that Al-Qaeda was threatening to blow up malls in Chicago and Los Angeles during the Christmas season. This is not the first time they have put out this particular warning. They did indicate this time, however, that the information they had comes from a, quote, credible source. I have here something called the National Intelligence Estimate. Now, there are parts of this that are classified, parts that are not. I will read just a couple of things from the part that, of course, is not classified. This is, by the way, the National Intelligence Estimate is something that is provided periodically to members and to anyone, really. You could go online, I'm sure, and get the declassified stuff. But it's a compilation of all of the intelligence gathering activities that have, up to that point in time, the point in time that this is produced. It's a summary of those particular intelligence gathering facts. In this one, that was just put out last month, we assess that Al-Qaeda will continue to try to acquire and employ chemical biological, radiological, or nuclear materials in attacks, and would not hesitate to use them if they develop them in what seems to be a sufficient supply. We assess that Lebanese Hezbollah, which has conducted anti-U.S. attacks outside the United States in the last, may be more likely to consider attacking the homeland over the next 3 years if it perceives the United States as posing a direct threat to the group in Iran. And of course, you all know what the situation is with regard to that, to our, at least a lot of the rhetoric intended to focus on Iran. We assess that the spread of radical, especially Salafi, internet sites, increasingly aggressive anti-U.S. rhetoric and actions, and growing number of radical self-generating cells in Western countries indicate that radical and violent segment of the West Muslim population is expanding, including in the United States. The arrest and prosecution by U.S. law enforcement of a small number of violent Islamic extremists inside the United States, who are becoming more connected ideologically, virtually, and or in a physical sense to the global extremist movement, points to the possibility that others may become sufficiently radicalized that they will view the use of violence here as legitimate. We assess that other non-Muslim terrorist groups, often referred to as single-issue groups by the FBI, probably will conduct attacks over the next 3 years given their violent histories, but we assess this violence likely to be on a smaller scale. We assess the globalization trends and recent technological advances will continue to enable even small numbers of alienated people to find and connect with one another, justify and intensify their anger, mobilize their resources to attack, and without requiring a centralized terrorist organization, training camp, or leader. The ability to detect a broader and more diverse terrorist plotting in this environment will challenge U.S. defensive efforts and tools we use to detect and disrupt these plots. Well, it goes on to greater length, but the point is this: that people are here. They have come here in two ways. Some of them have come legally, with the use of a visa, but are plotting to do very bad things to the United States. Some of them came here illegally. You know, there is a road. When I was down in Arizona not too long ago, the locals pointed out a road, an area that was used by people to. Used by the coyotes down there to bring people across into the United States, and they called it the Arab Road because so many people from the Middle East were being brought through that particular area. These people were paying $25,000 to $50,000 to be smuggled into the United States. Now, I always say, why would you pay $25,000 to $50,000 to be smuggled into the United States? It's not to work at the Quick Way or the Come and Go or the 7-Eleven. There's some other reason that you're here. Now, the fact is they are here. What are we going to do about it? And this is the point that I really want to get to in terms of trying to see whether we can get this issue to the next level in terms of the debate that is right now underway among the people who are running for president of the United States. What will they do? What will the other people do as a result of the facts that we know? As a result of the fact that we know that people are here today. It's not even a matter now of just securing the borders. Everybody wants to do it. That's great. I'm absolutely supportive of it and been supportive of it for a lot longer than the people who are now the major cheerleaders. But what about the people who are here? Are they willing, as I am, to identify and deport them? Are they willing to reduce legal immigration into this country significantly? Because that is the only way we can deal with this situation where we are being outpaced by immigration. It is overwhelming our ability to assimilate. Now, I've talked about this often, and this is the much bigger and broader problem than just the number of people coming into the country illegally, than just getting jobs that no other American will take, than impacting the schools. It's the fact that people are not assimilating, and the reasons, by the way, got to do with numbers. The numbers are great. Now, how do we deal with this? How do we prevent more people from coming into the United States, the purpose of doing what the gentleman on that particular commercial was doing? And how do we find them when they're here? Well, you have to begin by draining the swamp. We have to reduce the number of people who are here illegally. We have to find them. We have to deport them. They can self-deport if they want. Of course, we want that to happen when we don't give them jobs anymore. Millions will. Those that don't have to be deported. Will any of my colleagues who stand on that stage with me, will any of them say that? That they will deport the people who are here illegally? Will they say that we need to reduce legal immigration because that's the only way that we can actually stop the increase in the number of people coming into this country who are coming sometimes to do us great harm? Now, there is no... This is a very serious issue. And I must tell you that I don't see... When I look around and when I listen to what other candidates say, I don't see a willingness to go to this point. But if you don't go to this point, then what good is the rhetoric about borders, securing borders? They're here today. People are here today who are planning and plotting to kill us. And they are the numbers are growing, as the National Intelligence Estimate puts forward. Those numbers are growing. Are we willing to do something about it, to go after the people who are here, to reduce the number of people in this country who are here illegally by deportation, as I say, by going after employers, and by then reducing even legal immigration to the point where we're only talking about families of immediate families of people who are presently here legally and or refugee status. Those two things we can allow. But we must reduce the rest of it, or else we cannot drain the swamp. And this is the kind of thing that is going to happen here. We're going to have to take serious measures. Groups like the Muslim Brotherhood have got to be identified as a threat to the United States. Some of the recent activities, some of the recent information we've gathered from a trial that's going on in the United States would certainly indicate that the Muslim Brotherhood is a threat to the United States. It has to be identified as such. When people are here and people who are here and part of the Muslim Brotherhood, they need to be deported also. You have to get rid of them. I know this is strong stuff, you guys. I realize that. But if anybody can explain to me how we can deal with this issue in a more rational way, I'm in favor. I certainly want to hear it. But we cannot just simply continue to ignore this problem. Political correctness is going to get us all killed. And that's what's helped, you know, stop us from doing what we need to do. So anyway, we have a radio spot that goes along with it. If you just want to play that, it's a 60-second spot.
According to FBI reports, Al-Qaeda may be planning
to strike
at shopping malls here in America later this year. And the candidates for president are talking about health care and energy policy? I'm Tom Tancredo, and I say all issues pale in comparison to the fact that Islamic jihadists are here and plotting our destruction. It's time for real leadership in Washington. I will secure our borders and ports. I will stop all visas to nations that sponsor terrorism and arrest and deport any alien who preaches violence and hatred, whether that's coming from a mosque or a street corner in a May Day parade. I'll prosecute those who provide sanctuary to anyone who would harm us, deport all those who do not belong here, and put the military on the border if necessary to keep them from coming back. Leadership is about more than taking action after an attack. It's about doing everything in your power to stop it. And I mean everything. This is Tom Tancredo, and I approve this ad because someone has to say it.
Paid for by Tancredo for a secure America.
Okay.
Call 1-888-GO-TOM-08 and ask for Rachel.
Thank you. At any rate, that complements this because certainly in 29 seconds we cannot possibly... I mean, all we can do is really try to identify the problem. Then hopefully the radio spot will help us in flushing out what needs to be done as a result of the problem. So anyway, the questions from anybody? Yes. What I'm trying to do here is to address a very, very serious issue that has only been tangentially dealt with, that has only parts of it have been touched. Now, as I say, I've gotten the field to move to the point where they will talk about securing the borders. But that's not the ultimate solution to our problem. It's not just those folks coming here looking for a job that, quote, no one else will take. This is for real. I mean, I didn't make up the National Intelligence Estimate. That stuff comes out periodically. Anybody can read it. I didn't make up the FBI directive that went out last week saying that Al-Qaeda plans to blow up malls in the United States. I mean, is that fear-mongering on the part of the FBI? These things are real. I see other stuff that is classified that, you know, certainly makes you understand these threats are real. Now, how can we get people to discuss it if I don't do this? This is the only way we can force them into saying what they will do, and that's what I want to hear. I want to hear what my other colleagues there, what my opponents in the Republican presidential primary, and the Democrats for that matter, I want to hear what they will do to stop an event like this. The other day, you guys, I was in a beautiful, just bucolic little town, and there was a festival. There were thousands of people in the streets. This was in New Hampshire. Beautiful fall day, annual event. All kinds of kids in their little Halloween costumes, you know, during the morning doing their parade down the street. And then during the day, it's a lot of selling of stuff. It's just a little event they do every year. It's a beautiful event, beautiful day. As I say, I was walking through. We had our signs and stuff. And it was just a slice out of Americana, right? And I had this feeling. I had this horrible feeling. I thought to myself as we were going through there, you know, I could foresee a time when we can't do this anymore in America, when it's too dangerous to actually gather that way because somebody is going to do something like this, or whether we'll have to all go through metal detectors in order to get into the mall. Please recognize what happens, by the way. It doesn't have to be a nuclear device, biological or chemical device, to create great havoc in the United States. If you do even a more conventional type of explosion, if you do several of them in various places, you can do enormous damage not only to this country, but of course to the world economy. Just think about what happens if all of a sudden Americans stop consuming. We are the consuming engine of the world. When it stops here, believe me, it shuts down all over the place. And that part we had about that little boy in Russia that they were holding. Now, I have to tell you, one of the reasons why I agreed to allow that to go on there is because I went to Beslan. Because I happen to represent a district in Colorado with a school by the name of Columbine. And I know what it happens to a community when you have this kind of devastation. And my wife taught Russian for 27 years. We took students to the old Soviet Union, I don't know, 10 or 15 times. We've been back maybe another 10 times to Russia. When I heard, one night I was driving home, and I heard, just driving by Columbine, I was within a block of Columbine High School, and I heard that this something had happened in Beslan, in Russia. A bomb had gone off. Kids were killed. I didn't know anything else about it at the time. And I went home, and I said to my wife, we've got to go. We have to go there. I just feel it in my heart. We need to go express our condolences, tell them about our community, what we've gone through, that we understand the pain. Well, of course, in the process of getting there over the next several days, we began to hear about the extent of it. It was just horrendous. When I got off the plane and they put me in this armored personnel carrier to get me to the school where the event occurred, where the explosions occurred. Now remember, these were sometimes they are referred to as Chechen terrorists. They were Islamic Chechen terrorists. Okay? They came across, forced 1,000 people into a room 40 by 40, kept them there for 3 days. Little kids, forcing mothers to do a Sophie's Choice. You know? You have two kids, which one do you want to let go? We'll let one go. The other one has to die with you. And a bomb went off, and nobody knows exactly how. Nobody knows whether it was by accident or purpose, because they had rigged up bombs all over the building, all over this auditorium. Bomb went off, all hell broke loose, the Russians came in, a lot of people killed. When I was going in the truck, we went past the graveyard. 600 graves. They're digging 600 graves in a town of 25,000 people, most of them for kids. One Russian soldier, when they were running, a soldier dressed in a Russian uniform, but what he was a terrorist, he kept saying, come over, and all these kids ran up to him. And as soon as they got to him, thinking that he was going to provide them with security, course, he pulls the plug and kills himself and all of them. There are still body parts on the wall when I got there. The place was still smoldering. And I'm telling you, there's nothing to say something like that cannot happen here. There is nothing to say that it can't. And believe me, what that does to a community, beyond the horrible carnage, can you imagine what it does to the nation? So that's why, yeah, this is a scary commercial. I understand that. But it's a scary world in which we live. These are real threats. If you're going to run for president of the United States of America, you better tell people what you're going to do about this. Because this is for real. You know, you can talk about health care plans all you want. You can talk about fixing Social Security. You can talk about education and all the rest of this stuff that essentially doesn't matter if this starts. And I want to know. I want to know from those candidates, what are you going to do about this? How far are you willing to go? Because from my point of view, I'm willing to do everything that's necessary to preserve and protect this country. Everything that's necessary. And I will say it on the front end. You're going to hear me talk about it. And I know very well that, you know, all of the political consultants in the world get together and talk about, you know, how you're supposed to phrase things and what you can say in front of what group and what you can't. And look, I've never run a campaign like that in my life. I'm not about to start that now. I'm going to tell you what I feel and what I think and what I believe from the bottom of my heart. This is not meant for just some sort of hype. I am worried about this. I have been for a long time. I wrote about it in a book. I mean, I wrote my book, 2 years ago? In Mortal Danger. A lot of this stuff is in there. It's not like I just came up with this. It's just that somebody has got to talk about it, guys. And I hope you make them, because you're the only ones that can. I ran for this. I did this. I chose to run for president of the United States, recognizing that, you know, I would be on that second tier and probably there for a long time, and recognizing that the odds are very, very long against my being president of the United States. I think the last person that went from the House directly to the presidency was like Grover Cleveland, or it may have been before that. I'm not sure. It's a long time back. So I recognize that. I chose to run because I am a person that believes in issues. That is what motivates me. It's not the office. I assure you, I have never once decided to run even for Congress because I just wanted to be a congressman. And I didn't run for president just because I wanted to be president. I ran, and I am running, because I do want those issues developed. And to the extent that we have moved that field, I am happy about that. And, you know, where it goes from here in terms of my own ability to successfully mount a campaign, I don't know, but I do know this. While I'm in this business, while I'm here doing all the things that are necessary to do if you're going to run for president, I'm going to run with all of my heart on the issues that I care about greatly and hope that they do, of course, impact the rest of the field. You bet. I hope that happens. Issues matter. That's all I can say. I have never been the type of person to decide that, you know, there's a position I'm seeking. Now, what do I have to say? What do I have to do? What do I have to be in order to get there? You know? And that's what a lot of people do in this business. You look for the position, whether it's county commissioner or president of the United States. And you go, okay, that's what I want to be. What do I have to say? Let's have a little focus group here and figure out what are the words I need to use. How do I have to portray myself? That's just not me, and it's never going to be me. I will tell you exactly what I think and feel, and it, you know, if it means I'm, you know, the bottom of the second tier, it's the way it is. That's okay with me. But it needs to be done, and so I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Okay. Well, thank you very much, everyone.